All right, we're live. Tapping Birdie, Farmers Insurance Open. Got my good friend Ian, first time on. It's been a long time coming. I apologize for the delay, but I'm glad we could talk some golf tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brian. This is a dream come true. I've been pleading, I've been begging to make an appearance on Tapping Birdie. I'm finally here. It's a big week. I'm very nervous. I'm excited to talk Farmers Insurance Open, though. This is a big night for me. I've been waiting to make an appearance on this show.
Yeah, no, it has been a long time coming. I think you're just like so much of an expert in so many different sports that like it's hard for me to like see you as a true golf guy because right. Like you're just so good at betting on every single sport. Like it doesn't matter if it's like Portuguese soccer or like Taiwan ping pong. Like you kind of got it all covered.
Yeah, I would say maybe that is the issue. I feel like I'm not quite part of the golf betting community, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe I just bet on too many things, and that's kind of keep me from kind of getting in the door. But hey, maybe me making an appearance on the show is now gonna like be, you know, an entrance for me into the golf betting Twitter
like
you're world.
You should be like in with the boys. Like right, if you hit Brian Harman at the Open Championship, like you should be in. And right. Like in with golf Twitter. So I'm not really sure, you know, where the disconnect is there.
Yeah, I've been trying to crack into golf Twitter for a couple of years. It's been tough. A couple long shots didn't kind of get me over the edge, but I think this might be it. I think making my appearance on Tapping Birdie I think I might be officially part of golf Twitter starting now.
Yeah. So if people don't know, Ian is a senior editor at BetSided. He has, you know, dream job, legit just writes about sports betting and bets all day, like what we all wish we can do. But he, like I've, you know, alluded to, he's a man of many talents. He bets on every single NFL game during the season. So I want to start out with that. What is your all-time record since you've been doing that? Because in my opinion, it's one of the most impressive feats I've seen on gambling Twitter.
Yeah, give me a second. I can bring it up here. And I do have to note I'm not a professional bettor. So my strategy, because, I mean, professional bettors are not going to bet on all 272 NFL games. That would be stupid. My view on betting, especially betting on the NFL and golf, to be fair, is to just make it more entertaining. And if at the end of the day, if you can finish even and not lose money, then you're winning. I like to say, if you're not losing, you're winning.
Yeah, but you are up like a decent amount of units like for the past 3 years since you've done it, right?
Yes, I was pretty much just trying to filibuster until I could bring up my record, and I have it here now. So through four seasons of the NFL of betting on every single game, I'm 549, 503, and 20 for plus 22.9 units.
So, I mean,
it's not huge. I mean, it is, it's up though. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, if I bet on every single NFL game for 4 years, I would be down so much money. Like genuinely, like I can't even pick three or four games. Right. And obviously if you act like are a true gambler, you would only bet on things you have an edge on.
Right.
So like, if you don't have a read on a specific game, are there any, like, overall betting strategies that you've learned over the past 4 years? Like, you lean towards the underdog or, like, lean towards the over or, like, lean towards the sharper side? Like, are there any holistic strategies that you've learned over the past 4 years?
In terms of trying to make a bet on a game where I don't think I have an edge, generally I'll just take the team getting points, or sometimes I'll just say screw it and just take the over, because that's okay. Probably the most fun type of bet to place is rooting for points. But no, generally my advice to people is if you don't think you have an edge on a game or on any type of bet, probably just don't bet it.
Don't
bet the over like I do, but that's generally what I do, is I'll just say screw it, let's take the over and root for points.
We'll talk some NFL later. We'll save it for NFL later. Something I wanted to bring up, but we'll save it for NFL later. But you do put out your outright card every week. You pick a couple guys in your article. Like, what is your golf process like? Like, are you, you know, what do you like to bet in golf? And how do you kind of land on your guys a lot of the time?
Yeah, generally I've been betting on golf for a number of years now. So I at least the classic events like that, like this week's event, and you know, the ones that are at the same courses every single year, I kind of know what types of golfers I'm going to be looking for. So it's just a process of what golfer fits that mold, and then the basic things that everyone should be looking at, course history and recent form, and then just try to find where the value's at. I don't think I do anything necessarily unique. I will say one thing that I do like to do is I do love placing round by round 3 ball bets on golfers to win their group that day. You can get hot and cold in that. You can lose a lot of money in a hurry doing that, but that is electric. It makes kind of Thursdays, Fridays, and even Saturdays
because
a
you
little
have
more
action
exciting.
on every single group.
Right.
Like you always got something to track, something to tilt. I like that with first round leader bets, but those you only get a sweat, you know, every once in a while.
Right.
But actually, Ian was truly my introduction to golf betting. This is
There you go.
100% legit. The first event back was the Charles Schwab after the pandemic. It was the only thing you could bet on. And you were used to work for Odd Shark, and you put out a video and you're like, yeah, I like Daniel Berger
Daniel Berger.
this week. And I bet him like top 10, top 20. I didn't bet him outright because you only said to bet him top 10, top 20. You did not say put the mortgage on him outright at 80 to 1, which you should have. I don't know what you were kind of thinking back then, but I remember I probably won like 100, $200, and it was generally the greatest thing ever. And I've been hooked ever since. So I want to thank you for your Daniel Berger shout at the Colonial in 2020.
Yeah, I think I did personally bet it outright. Probably when I gave out the pick, I probably did just say top 10 or top 20 back then, and even probably as recent as last year, I did a lot more. Just gave out picks for top 10, top 20, especially early when I was on at Odd Shark and I was trying to be a professional bettor. Now I just give names of guys and I just bet them outright, and then I let the people decide how they want to bet it. If like if I give a long shot and you just want to do top 20, go ahead, but I'm gonna give out 3 golfers, and I'm gonna bet them outright myself because I'm chasing that high of a big win, and that's more fun. It's more fun to hit a big bet than it is just to hit like a top 20 at plus 120.
No, I 100%, 1,000,000% agree. I was actually on Twitter, I was in a thread where people were talking about it. Like, if I have $500 to wager on a golf tournament, I would rather do bet that where I could 7x it and win thousands of dollars versus betting it on top 20s and matchups where you could maybe 2 or 3x it if you're betting like longer shot top 10s. And if I were to lose that, you know, initial investment, I would rather do it on something that could sustain it for multiple weeks. I don't think it maybe is the most sustainable, you know, golf strategy if you want to like build a bankroll in betting on golf,
No.
but it's definitely the most fun and it's a small investment to win a lot of money, and that's what makes outright betting so great.
Yeah, and all you have to do is hit a couple outrights, and then you just want to chase that high again because
Yeah,
there's nothing better than hitting a golf outright.
no, there is nothing, and I personally wouldn't know this year. 3 straight kind of heartbreaks. Like the gala, he charged on Sunday. Like he shouldn't have really won. Like that wasn't really as heartbreaking, but it was still close. And then Ben on, that was pretty bad with the missed 4 footer and Grayson making a 40 footer. And then I had Sam Burns last week and
Tough.
he played pretty well. I mean, he played pretty well on Sunday. He was drilling putts and he just didn't birdie 2 par 5s. And that didn't really put him in the best position with the final 2 holes. Like he was only tied with Nick Dunlap. But, you know, I think it would have been a lot worse and a lot more painful if he had a 1 or 2 stroke lead and put it in the water there. Then that would have hurt a lot more. But the fact that he easily could have lost going par in regulation, that maybe would have gotten him into a playoff, like it makes it a little bit better. But you know, the thing about golf betting is that there were many weeks last year where I literally did not have a single sweat, like no one even remotely in contention. So I'm at least, I would rather have a sweat and lose than just have terrible bets all week. So, you know, as I said many times before, the process is good. The process is processing it doesn't matter if you lose the bet as long as the process was good. That is truly all that matters. So I'm happy to report the process is firing.
Hashtag trust the process.
You just got to trust the process. But it truly is unbelievable the run of winners that we've had.
Yep.
On the PGA Tour to start the year. I know that the Amex has produced a lot of long shot winners in the past, but for the guy to win that, to win an event where no amateur has won since 1991, and he's a top 10 golfer of all time and a six-time major champ. I mean, it's truly incredible how good these college kids are. I mean, when you were 20 years old, when we were 20 years old in college, could you imagine winning a professional golf tournament? I mean, it's just unbelievable what these kids are up to.
Yeah, no, I mean, at 20 years old, I didn't even swung a golf club before. So, I would say it is interesting the start of the year with each of the long shots kind of winning, because I think they each of them kind of tell a little bit of a different story. I think Chris Kirk is kind of a guy that we know when he plays his best golf, he can compete with the best golfers in the world. And that's kind of what we saw in the first event. The second event with Grayson Murray, I think that just kind of shows that in these kind of weak field events, truly anybody could win. But yeah, then, like you said, in this most recent one with the amateur, I think that just shows how good the young crop of golfers are coming up. For an amateur to win and win in a field that has some good golfers in it. Like, yeah, you had the number one ranked golfer in the world in the field. You had JT, you had Sam Burns. It wasn't like he won some bum event in Bermuda or something. Like, this guy won a big event, yep, and that just goes to show how strong this field of golfers that are like 18, 19, 20 right now are coming, yeah, up. Because he's not even the number one ranked amateur in the world. I think he's ranked number three. So, like,
yeah, no. I mean, he won like the U.S. amateur. He's definitely, right, a highly renowned one. But if you ask people in golf circles, like Nick Dunlap, yeah, he's probably like a top, you know, three or five guy, but he's not like the guy.
Right. It's not now, like he's like the next coming of Tiger Woods and everyone, no, was saying, watch out for this guy.
Yeah, no. So it's just absolutely wild start to the year. And even when the PGA Tour was a lot weaker, we've never really had three winners like that to yeah, start the year. But yeah, I mean, Dunlap played unbelievable, truly. Just a really, really good wedge player. He was just sticking all his wedges. Birdie in the par fives, like, he was really impressive. And honestly, I know people were like making fun of me about it on Twitter. It makes zero sense to me why he does not get the winner's check. Like, I understand he's an amateur, but you invite him in the field to compete against the best players in the world. And, you know, all these college kids are making all this money with NIL. Like, what is more ethical for a college kid to make a bunch of money? Winning and beating a bunch of professional golfers or some brand sponsoring you? Like, I don't understand how you could have one without the other. It makes no sense to me how he did not get the winner's check. Like, I truly, it upsets me.
If he got the winner's check, then by definition, he wouldn't be an amateur anymore, though.
I understand that, but I think in golf, if you get this sponsor exemption and everything, like, it makes it different. Like, if college kids can make money in NIL, like, right, I think that they should make money playing the sport. And golf's a very, like, unique sport. And it, I, right, think it, like, other sports, it's different. Like, I don't know if you're an amateur baseball player or hockey player, how you could ever, like, win money playing your sport. But I think golf is just in a unique spot. And I'm just worried about his financial future a little bit.
I think he's going to be fine financially. I think the sponsorship deals he's going to get from that win are going to more than cover the money that he didn't get in the winner's check.
Well, he's going to Live. I don't know if people saw. He's on Live already.
Are you just saying that? Or is
no,
that
for real? I'm messing around. But Rom, Taylor Gooch, and Phil all tweeted at him and tweeted about him, which I thought was a little odd.
Well, Phil makes sense because Phil was the last
one to win. But for those two, and then I saw that his agent is the same agent as a bunch of Live guys, because it came out that a lot of people from the same agency went to Live, like they must have had, you know, similar interests and everything. So that's just a space to monitor. He might be on the fireballs in 2028. Like, it's a true who could say situation. So shout out Nick Dunlap. Fuck you, Sam Burns. You win 5 PGA Tour events. Like, just win. And that's what pissed me off is that Ben Ahn, he's never won before. He's a loser, in my opinion. But Sam Burns is like a winner. Like, he knows how to close golf tournaments. So that was
I'm shocked Sam Burns didn't win that heading into the final round.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Farmers Insurance Open this week. Torrey Pines.
Yep.
Had some really good winners here. I think this is the event that people really start to care about the golf season. It's, of course, people know. It's a decent field. It's on CBS. I really like the move to make it Wednesday through Saturday. I know you got a lot going on, but like the average casual fan, they're not going to watch the Sony or the American Express or even the Farmers over NFL football. Mm-hmm. And that's what the PGA Tour has going for them, is that the majority of the season is without the football season. But I really like this move, and I'm sure that it's been beneficial to the tournament.
No, I love this move. I mean, even this past Sunday, I wasn't going to watch the last couple holes of the tournament because I was watching NFL. I ended up switching over to watch the last hole just because it's history with Dunlap winning. But yeah, I like this move. This isn't a brand new move.
No, I think it's been past 2 years.
Yeah, it makes sense because Sunday is Championship Sunday. So, like, no matter what happens, I'm not going to be watching golf if it's on Sunday. So, yeah, it's a smart move. And also, I mean, we get to watch golf earlier in the week. It does screw up kind of my handicapping process if people don't know why.
I mean,
we usually do this show on Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, it's Tuesday night show. Like, I have a little bit more time to digest, but we got to rip it Monday. We got to get the views, man.
Yeah,
like, but it really makes no sense. Like, if I put it out on Tuesday night, like, you're not going to listen
next
to it.
I mean, I was doing my handicapping process today, and I used Data Golf quite a bit, and they just didn't have, like, their pre-tournament stuff up yet. Because I usually do my handicapping on Tuesday, but I had to do it today. It's up now, but when I was writing my article earlier today, it wasn't up, and it threw me for a loop.
Yeah, it's tough for me, you know, working a real job, unlike you. I know you have a real job, but, like, I'm just really jealous of you. Like, to 2 days of work with golf on, it's manageable, but 3 days, it's tough. Like, you know, Friday, potentially, like, guy in the mix, like, that's, you know, that's weekend golf. I'm not supposed to be sitting at a desk, like, working and sending emails and stuff when, you know, I got a guy in the mix on Sunday. So I'm glad it's at least later in the day. But, I'm excited for this week. Honestly, I don't love the odds board. I don't think that it's, you know, a super attractive odds board, and it's a little upsetting to me. But I think that there are clearly 4 golfers that are above everyone else in this field: Xander Schauffele, Cantlay, Morikawa, and Homa. I think they all have, you know, very similar chances to win. I think they're all very similar caliber of player. You betting any of these guys? Who do you like out of these 4? Like, if you had to rank them?
Yeah, there is one guy I'm going to be betting on. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, Brian. You don't like taking guys near the top of the odds board, do you? I feel like you're always a guy like at least over the top 5.
I usually don't, because normally, you know, in a field, like, there's a lot more attractive options down the board. Like, I very rarely bet a guy under 20-1 just because it makes the other outrights, you know, a lot shorter. Yeah. But this week is one where I will be betting the top of the board because I don't really see a lot of value down the board. And I think one of these 4 is going to win this week.
Interesting. Okay. So we're going to change things up from the long shots this week. You think a top dog wins it this week?
Dude, if someone random wins this event, like, I might have to, like, start handicapping another sport.
I mean, it has started to mess with my mind a bit. So I do have I know we were texting about it earlier today. I have a crazy long shot, but I'll start with the top of the board because I am betting one of the top guys here. I'm going to go Morikawa. I got him at 12-1. I just think he plays well in California. He has a decent history here, in the top 5 2 of the last 3 years that he's competed at it. It was T5 of the century. His approach play seems to be dialed in, gained a ton of strokes on the field off the tee and with his approach play at Century. Obviously, the issue with Morikawa, if he can hit a putt, that is the frustrating part of betting on Morikawa. But of the top dogs, he's kind of the one I'm eyeing. Usually, this would be a spot where I'd back Xander.
Yeah, you like Xander. You're a Xander guy.
Not anymore. I'm off Xander. I didn't like the Ryder Cup situation. I didn't like how like he was being whiny, like Cantlay, saying those guys should be getting paid. Who was it? His dad that was like making a big stink about it. I'm off Xander. I was a Xander guy for 5 years. I'd like to make the announcement on this show. I'm no longer a Xander guy. I'm off Xander. I'll never bet on him ever again. I'll never cheer for him. I hate him.
Wow.
Because this would normally be a spot on Hammer Xander. Xander was my guy. He was my guy for 5 years.
Well, maybe that will be like a profitable change for you. Like,
well, it's certainly betting on him wasn't possible. No, we'll tell you that. So hopefully
I think with Xander at 9-1, like I'm just out. Like I'm not gonna bet him at those odds at a course that should be perfect for him, but he hasn't excelled at. He just hasn't been unbelievable here, and he has the local ties, but I'm just out on him. Cantlay, no, absolutely not.
Nope.
He did you know he shot like +4 on Sunday at the Amex? Like every single person going ballistic under par. Cantlay, top 10 player in the world. He shot 4 over par. So that really soured me on him. I like Colin. I probably am betting Colin.
I thought you were gonna say Max Homa.
No, I really do like Max as well. But my thing with Colin is that I really think that win in Zozo makes him a lot more likely to have a really big season where he wins 2 times. You know, he was on a very long winless drought after he won the Open Championship. And when you're that caliber of player and you have 2 major championships at however old you are, like you're expected to win a lot more. And, you know, winning events is very random, but I think that instilled a lot of confidence in him, you know, knowing that he could win again. And I really think he's going to win 2 times on the PGA Tour this season. I don't think that's like a crazy bold take, but usually you don't win 2 times on the PGA Tour. But this is a place that he just hits the ball really, really well at. And last year, he was flagging everything, and he missed a lot of short putts. So, Ian, I'm just letting you know, he is going to stick it to 6 feet all day and miss a ton of them. But I like betting him here versus a place like Kapalua. I know he's been excellent there, but the pace you have to go on with birdies there, I just don't think he can sustain. And I think he can easily get to -13, -14 with his ball striking. And I know it's early in the week, but there's been a ton of rain in San Diego. Like the course is soaked, the area is soaked. There's like flood advisory warnings, and that's going to make the course play a lot longer. But my read on it is that because it's 2-course rotation, I would prefer guys that start on the north course because the north course is 500 yards shorter and it's a lot easier.
Yep.
And obviously Wednesday, that's when the courses are going to be most soaked, but they're going to dry up. So there's good weather. So south on Wednesday is going to be really, really tough. And I think it's going to be tough to shoot an under par round there. So Colin starts on the north. So I think that's going to be a big advantage this week. And I really think that the winner will, and the winner usually does start on the north course. I think this week 100% winner is starting on the north course.
That's a great point. I like that. Line of thinking. I would say usually I would have a concern about Morikawa with his lack of driving distance, because this obviously is a course that you have to be a little bit long. But just because he's had success here, it's kind of like proven that he can play. I mean, Patrick Reed was another guy, right? I believe he won
here. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's another guy. Not a long driver, but some guys, they're just good enough around the greens, good enough with their long irons that they can make up for a lack of distance. So, like if Morikawa didn't have the course history that he does, I'd probably stay off him for that reason.
Yeah, and I think he's really good here just because he hits so many 6-7 irons, and he's just like unbelievable with those clubs. So I'm completely out on Ludvig this week. Big fade on Ludvig. I think that I just don't think this is the spot for him. I know he's at a decent number, but I'm out. I think Ludvig will struggle this week. I personally would be very surprised if he finishes in the top 15, 20 this week. I'm out on Lud here.
Yeah, Ludwig is like last year, this year's version of Tom Kim last year, where like he was like the hot name in the fall swing. He won a couple events, and then he's just overvalued in the first few events of 2024, just like Tom Kim was the first few events of
Yeah.
2023. So until his price comes back to a reasonable spot, which is going to take, I think, a few weeks, if not a couple months, then I can't even look at Ludwig.
Yeah. Anyone you like in this kind of Minwoo, J-Day, Finau, Keegan, Thagala range? I know those are pretty, some of those guys, I think a decent amount, these guys are pretty popular this week because I think there's good cases for all of them. Do you like any of these guys from 25 to 33?
I'm not betting on anyone in that range. My next one is 50-1, but if I was point at one guy, it's a guy who I am going to ride a lot this season. I think it's a guy I was on last week, Minwoo Lee.
Okay.
But now I do think he's just, I don't think the price is right this week.
Right?
So
I
yeah,
don't
it's.
know what he's done to prove that he should be this price. And I think he's had some decent results. Like, I will give him that. But my thing with Minwoo is that he is a terrible iron player. Like, he truly has events where he loses 3, 4 strokes. And you don't see that a lot with professional golfers. And some courses you can get away with it. And I know Reed and Leishman have won here. I just don't think he is a good enough iron player to contend here. Like, you're just faced with so many difficult iron shots, so many long iron shots. Like, I don't think that he could just putt his way and chip his way around this golf course. And this price is terrible. It's truly terrible. Day, he got his win last year. He fucks here. He's amazing here, but I'm out. Big Tone, he's great here, but
He is great here.
I just don't. He just been very lacking since he won Mexico. Like, he is
Yeah.
truly not a single
To put it
result.
lightly, he
He
had
hasn't.
what, one top 10 since then?
Well, where was it? Do you see
The
it?
Hero World Challenge, he finished
No, that
T4.
doesn't even count.
And I don't think that counts.
That doesn't count. He hasn't had
Oh
a
no,
top
sorry. He
10.
finished T7 at the 3M Open in July.
That doesn't count. That's the smallest dick event. Like, there were like three players in the field. But
Yeah, no, I
I
can't go
know
on the
his
Big
course
Tone
history
train.
here is great. I'm just kind of out. Like, I
Yeah,
just don't think he's playing good enough.
I
Thiegs,
agree.
I'm very out on. I know he finished well last year, but I just worry about the driver.
Yep.
Keegan's interesting to me. You have any
Keegan is
thoughts on
interesting.
Keegan?
No, Keegan is interesting. Was he what did he finish second last year here?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he finished second 2 weeks ago.
So there you go. Good form, good history. I do like Keegan. Not a guy I think I'm gonna bet on, but I could be convinced. But right now, no. But I do like him.
Yeah, I think Keegan's very motivated to win like everybody is. And this is a golf course he's just played really well at. And, I think Sony's a bit of a different test, but, I have zero doubts about him. Cole, I think, no one's betting him. He's a bad course fit. And I'm just out on Cole for right now. Schrocka, English, Zal, any of these DP guys? Who's your guy at 50?
My guy at 50 is a guy who I'm now obligated to bet on every single year at this event. Because I interviewed him 2 years ago and he
Yeah.
said Torrey Pines is his favorite course and
Yeah.
the course that he thinks fits his style of play the best. And that's Will Zalatoris, 50-1. Obviously a big issue, him coming off the injury. He played abysmal up until this past week. He actually
Yeah, he played well.
played well. So there's that little tiny spark. Like I probably wasn't gonna bet on him unless he had that performance last week. I still think he was like T34, like it wasn't great, but is that little spark
Yeah.
where it's like, okay, maybe he's starting to find something. He did gain strokes in all four areas when playing at the stadium course because the other courses don't have strokes gain data. But at a stadium course rounds, he gained strokes in all four areas, including putting, which is promising. But at the end of the day, this bet is just I feel obligated to bet him every single
Yeah.
year at Torrey Pines because
I
he
mean,
said
you
he loves this
interviewed
course.
him, you had a
Right.
nice chat with him. I don't, you are obligated to bet him. And if he won here, after he told you that, on a pod, that'd be pretty upsetting.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean,
Yeah,
I basically said, which course do you play the best at? He said Torrey Pines. I was like, done betting on you every single year
done. That's
for the
just an
rest of your
easy
career
one.
at Torrey
I
Pines.
think Harris English is a good shout. Andy likes him. I was on Andy's pod earlier. He gave a whole case on him. I think it makes total sense. He's been good here, plays
I
well in
will.
difficult conditions. He's been playing well. He's been playing well. He's got some good form coming in.
I will say another name in that range, and this is a guy who I've bet on a few times in the past. I just love some of these European guys. Nikolai Højgaard, I think he might have a big week.
I think it's a good course fit. I'm just worried about the history. Also, update, Knights up 4-3 on the Devils. They've scored three in the second period to the Devils. What, did you ride the Kings with me?
The Knights? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Knights.
Yeah, I mean, I had the Devils are starting Vinacek or Vitek Vinacek or whatever his name is.
It's not over. I'm not Vic lapping it, but the line made zero sense, and I know Puck.
Yeah, he's one of the worst goalies in the NHL right now. It's him and Ilya Samsonov. They both stink. Yeah. So yeah, I was going to take the Knights.
I said on NHL, I'll say it again. What is the difference between Justin Rose and Jason Day? Like, Justin Rose shouldn't be 40 points higher than Jason Day. They both won here. They were both really good here in their prime. They both had bounce back seasons last year.
Did Justin Rose isn't playing that much worse
than Day. What?
Did Justin Rose have a bounce back season last year?
He won Pebble.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
So I just think that number is a bit off. Lowry. I'm just out. He could play well, but I'm not sure if I'm in on him this week. Bo Hostler, loser, blacklist forever. List is interesting. You know, he's won here.
2 years ago, wasn't that long ago. I took a long, hard look at List.
Like, he's a guy that can poke his head around. And he won in the fall, you know, Ryder Cup snub. He wants to be at Bethpage. You know, this is a guy who's motivated. I mean, he's got a good number. It's not like if he was trash for the past 2 years, I think it's a different story, but he won in the fall. Like he's been playing some decent golf. Patrick Rogers, first round leader. I'm in. Like, give me Patrick Rogers, first round leader. Cause he's a loser that can't win, but he could go low in round one.
Okay.
He's been playing decent. He's good here. He's a California guy.
Okay.
Good Poa putter. I think he's going to contend in a few events this year. I like him first round leader.
I like
Daniel Berger was decent last week, dude. Our guy.
What? I don't think I saw a single shot of Daniel Berger. Did he have?
He made the cut and played decent, and like I think he gained a decent amount with his irons.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's at least at the two stadium course. 1.79 strokes with approach.
Bad, but is he back?
He might be on his way back. He's not. I mean. To be fair, I mean, I am betting on Will Zalatoris, so I guess Berger is kind of the exact same guy in this situation. So it's kind of hypocritical for me to say I'm betting on Will but not Berger because it's almost the exact same result. Two guys coming off injury, both, I think, finished T39.
Yeah.
Both showed some promise, but no, of the two, I'll take Zalatoris. What's the price on Berger right now?
He's like 75.
Maybe Berger might be the better play.
I don't know. He's won in California before. He'll be at Pebble soon where he's won. I like Fox this week. I like Ryan Fox. Like, I like these DP World Tour guys. Yeah. Ryan Fox, I think, will win on the PGA Tour this year. I really like him at Valspar or Colonial. Pencil him in one of those places. Is this the week? Not sure. He could definitely shoot like 85. Would not be surprised. But he's a bomber. And he has some good results on difficult golf courses. And I think he'll make a strong debut. Aaron Rye, he was first-round leader here. He's been decent. I like him on difficult tracks. Shank has been first-round leader here. I like him on difficult tracks. You know anything about Kevin Yu?
No.
Okay, so Kevin Yu had a decent start to the year last year, top 10 at Pebble. Elite driver, like top 10 in strokes gained off the tee. And then he got injured and then he took off for like legit four months. Kind of poked around, first round leader guy. And he almost wins last week. He has a really good Sunday, shoots like 10 under. And now he's 150-1 in this field. Putts well on Poa. Bomber. Like, elite driver of the ball. I think that's just a value play, to be honest.
I like it.
So I like Kevin Yu. I might bet him.
I got another name I think you passed by. I didn't mention.
Okay. Who you got?
What do you think about Michael Kim? T6 last week.
Strokes gained home model.
He's from Torrey Pines High School.
Went to Torrey Pines High School.
I mean, yeah. In good form.
What more would you want?
90 to 1.
Well, like, that's just an... I don't think it's a great course fit, to be honest.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But, sure. I you know, I don't know why not. I mean, he... I actually want to see how he's played here. Because I know he's played it a few times.
But, not great. 44th last year, 53rd in 2021. Miscut.
But now he's famous on Twitter. So it
now
kind
he's famous
of
on Twitter. So strokes gain Twitter followers.
Strokes gain Twitter high. Followers is jumping right now. He was pissed. Did you see his tweet? He was pissed that they didn't put him on the
local golfers. Yeah. He's like, I went to Torrey Pines High School and
they doesn't even get but he does have an interview this week. So,
oh, there you go.
Got to factor that into your,
no, not a bet I'm going to place. I might do a top 20.
Okay.
Or maybe just bet on him in for a three ball. I don't know who's in his group on Wednesday, but maybe a three ball bet.
Sam Ryder value play for me.
I looked at Sam Ryder. I like.
But why not? He's 150 to 1. You could bet anyone for any reason at 150 to 1. He almost won last year.
Yep.
He was fine last week. Made an eagle.
Yep.
Why the hell not? Yep. I like Taylor Moore. He was good here last year. He's a PGA Tour winner. Who are your long shot guys? Those are kind of some of the guys I like. Who are you kind of eyeing in the triple digits?
My long shot, I got 350 to 1. Lanto Griffin.
What's the case for Lanto?
Is it Lanto or Lanto?
I think it's Lanto.
I've always called him Lanto.
I don't think it's Lanto. I don't think Lanto is like a name.
I didn't know Lanto was a name either.
Okay.
Mr. Griffin. Pretty solid success here. 12th in 2018, 7th in 2021. So two top 12 finishes.
Okay.
Finished top 40 the last 2 years. Solid off the tee, great short game. His approach plays, iron plays, always what was just complete crap. But last week at the American Express at the two stadium course rounds, he gained 3.38 strokes on the field with his approach play. It was like a top five or top three mark in the entire field.
Wow.
At the stadium course.
He's just firing with his irons.
So
right
his
now,
irons just all of a sudden caught fire last week. So if he can bring that iron play this week and then play like he normally does everywhere else, value 350 to one. Put a buck on it.
No, more than that,
$5.
400 bucks on it, dude. Yeah. You could retire.
Did you see someone put like $300 on Dunlap last week?
I don't know if I believe that, but I guess it's true. But that's
like a family member,
dude. That's what's pissing me off about these numbers this week is that. You couldn't act if you're the books, you couldn't ask for a better start to the season.
Oh,
like genuinely, no one won. No right. one won. Like, right. I think nationally, you know, maybe 30, 40 people in the entire United States were on total, like Grayson Murray and Nick Dunlap. It couldn't have been that many people. And there's thousands upon thousands of people betting on golf every single week.
It is crazy that at the start of last season, every single week, it was like Scheffler or John Rahm's going to win.
Yes.
Every single week. Even John Rahm went and won the Masters. And we were all like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to bet on one of those two guys every single week. And then like from the halfway point of last year up till this point, it's like nothing but long shots are winning.
Yeah.
I mean, every single week.
A lot of mid-tier guys have been in there. But yeah, I mean, Rahm and Scheffler won 6 times before the Masters last year.
Yeah.
So I think the books are just being too greedy, man. Like they're just taking all our money and then they're not even giving us good value, bro.
Yeah.
It's upsetting. It honestly is upsetting, but I'm hoping, you know, the tide will turn, you know, we'll get a more normal winner this week. You want to talk some NFL? You want to talk some football?
Yeah, we can talk some football.
I want to applaud you. Have you Vic Lap your Eagles or frauds take enough? Like, have you gotten enough run out of that take?
I think I'm done. Especially, well, I kind of can't really celebrate too much because they actually ended up being even more fraudulent than I thought they would be. I actually
weren't even that extreme.
I bet on them two of the last 3 weeks. I bet on them both in games they played against the Giants, and they didn't cover in either and lost outright in week 18. So, like, I jumped back on the Eagles train too early. So I actually didn't call them fraudulent enough. They stunk. But, yes, when I first said that they were fraudulent, they had one loss. They're like 8-1 or 10-1 or something. And I got ripped apart by Eagles fans. And I turned out, if there's one thing I can do in sports, is point out a fraud.
Okay, that's your, no, because you've been good at pointing out fraud. You did, you know, call my Islanders a fraud for a while, and I think
a couple years ago,
yeah, and I
John
think
Taffer got mad at me for it.
Yeah, you just like have beef with Long Island, like in the metro area, but you did have a good time at UBS when we went together. I know you didn't have as much of a good time as when they
second
played the Leafs
and
they lost. So championship weekend, did any of the results from this weekend surprise you at all, or you know, did they kind of go as expected?
I mean, there was a couple that I thought might have gone a little bit the other way, but like there's nothing shocking from this weekend.
No,
terms of what happened on the football field, no, nothing shocked me.
Like your overall opinion of none of the teams changed that drastically?
No.
Okay.
No.
So we first game on Sunday, Ravens Chiefs.
Yeah.
Ravens -3.5, -180 on the money line.
Yeah.
44.5 is the total.
Yeah.
What is your early lean in this game? What's your side? Who do you like here?
I'm betting on the Ravens, laying the points at the Ravens.
Okay.
A few points I want to say. First thing, people who say you just can't bet against Patrick Mahomes when an underdog is silly. What, he's just going to win every single time he's an underdog for the rest of his career? You got to look at the game a little bit deeper than that. Now, I did bet on the Chiefs this past week against the Bills, so people can't get too mad at me. I was on the Chiefs last week, but at the end of the day, when it comes to sports like these, when it's a team versus team, styles make fights. And the Ravens are a stylistic nightmare for the Kansas City Chiefs. What's the weakest part of the Chiefs? Their run defense. You can run the ball. The Bills ran the ball all over them this past weekend. Who runs the ball more than the Ravens? Nobody. They run the ball more than any other team. They're third in the NFL in yards per carry. They're going to run the ball down Kansas City's throat. It's not even going to be close. And what's the biggest strength to the Chiefs' offense? Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. Who has the best secondary in the NFL? The Ravens. So the Ravens can run the football and stop the pass. That's a nightmare for the Chiefs. I think the Ravens might win by double digits.
You're big on the Ravens. You convince me. I will tell the Ravens I'm in. I think the Bills are kind of were overrated this year, so I don't think that their win was that impressive. But I do think that you can make the case that the Chiefs should have won by a lot more than what they actually wound up winning by. But I will trust your stats there. I do think that it is kind of the Ravens' time, and they don't have a lot of holes in their game. And I just don't know how good the Chiefs truly are after their past two wins. Like, I don't know if they're more like that or more like they were to end the regular season, because they definitely did not have an unbelievable end to the year, and I don't really think they put up that many impressive performances.
Yeah, no, this is not a great version of the Chiefs. I think people have a very short memory and they just think of the last 2 weeks, but they're what, 11-6, 10-7, 11-6 in the regular season. They lost to some bad teams. The receiving core is absolutely terrible. Their defense is good, or at least their pass defense is good. But you can run the ball against this Chiefs team all day, and that's what the Ravens
are. Are we taking, like, Gus Edwards over props, Lamar over props? Like,
might be Lamar. Lamar ran a ton this past week. I think he's 11 carries, 100 yards. I think it might be Lamar. It's tough with Ravens running backs taking the over on their props because they play such a running back by committee.
Okay.
That is kind of tough. They just kind of go
through. Yeah, I knew that. Any lean on the total?
Under.
Under. Okay. Niners home against the Lions, Niners -7, over-unders 50.5. What is your take on this game?
I mean, just call me Mr. Square this weekend, because I'm gonna lay the points of the 49ers too. Brian, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, I went to war on Twitter.
Yeah, you're a big Purdy defender. Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. Now, Brock Purdy, I understand if you want to say he's not elite, that's fine. I probably agree with you, but there are people on Twitter who think I'm stupid for thinking that Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, which makes absolutely no sense. No matter what passing metric you want to look up, Brian, whether it's adjusted EPA per play, yards per pass attempt, air yards per throw, quarterback rating, QBR, Brock Purdy leads the NFL, not just top five. He's first in all of them. First, you can't be a bad quarterback and lead the NFL in every single passer metric. That doesn't make sense. Yes, I understand he has more weapons than some other quarterbacks. Yes, he plays in a complementary offensive system. But that doesn't mean that he can't be a great quarterback. That's why, like, there is a combination of stats and kind of the eye test. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the league, even though he leads in all metrics. But he's a great quarterback. People are saying he's terrible. Like, as if stats mean nothing. It's unbelievable arguing these people, Brian. It's like they're not accepting 1 + 1 = 2. It's like I can show them two apples and be like, look, 1 + 1 = 2. And they're like, no, you're an idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about. Have you seen an apple before, bro? It's unbelievable.
Do you know, Ball? Do you even watch the game?
And the Lions secondary sucks, by the way. One of the worst defense in the playoffs. They were outgained both by the Rams and the Buccaneers last week. The 49ers are going to torch their defense.
Torch. So
the only hope the Lions have is if they score on just about every single offensive possession and win in like a shootout like 42-35 or like 42-40.
Okay.
It's not
so happen. I have been on the Brock Purdy hating train. However, this was when he was the favorite to win the MVP. And I was like, he is not the MVP of the league. I think Brock Purdy is a great quarterback. I think he's top five, top seven, whatever in the NFL. But when he was the favorite to win the MVP, I just completely disagreed with that. And I think it kind of just, the award has turned into who's the best quarterback and not who's the actual most valuable player.
Right.
I like the over in this game. This will be a Sunday night. You know, just lost everything on golf, trying to get back into it, and just kind of a Sunday night Hail Mary. Points, points, points. These are both two over teams. You know, the Niners D didn't super impress me last week, and I think they'll be able to put up points, you know, because the Lions secondary is bad. I knew that personally. I knew that looking at my own metrics and everything. Dude, this Knights Devils game is out of control. 5-4. 6 goals in the second period. Just crazy. I like the over here. Do you lean over?
Yeah, I lean over. Yeah, I will say about the 49ers defense is it is a little bit overrated. And they're kind of like the Steelers where it's just like every year people go, oh, yeah, the Steelers defense is great. Or, oh, yeah, the 49ers defense is great. And then you look at the numbers, they're like, they're not that great. 49ers defense is average. Okay. The issue for the Lions is that their defense is like a bottom five unit. So
I'm down Sunday card Ravens. I'll trust you. Ravens over in Lions Niners. Like that is my Sunday NFL card to get back to even for the week. There'll be some nuke plays on that. If the most likely scenario happens and the Ravens and the Niners win and they meet in the Super Bowl, I don't know if you saw the opener was a pick'em, which I don't know if the Super Bowl has ever been a pick'em. Do you have a lean there if that is the potential matchup? And do you agree with the line?
No,
obviously, so it's kind of tough to say without seeing them play this.
I thought the 49ers would be 3.5-point favorites. They're 6.5-point favorites at home to the Ravens on Christmas. The Ravens obviously won. The Ravens have looked better since then. And then obviously neutral field. So I thought it was going to come down a few points. But for it to shift from 6.5 down to a pick 'em, I think it is -1.5 at most books. I think Circa had to shift it to a pick 'em because obviously I think a lot of money came in on the Ravens. But if it's a pick 'em, I think I have to actually go 49ers.
Really?
I don't know for sure, though. But like I set the 49ers, in my opinion, like a small favorite. I think like 1.5-2 is actually kind of the right line for the 49ers.
Okay. Yeah, I think, again, that will be the Super Bowl. You know, I think that's, a pretty safe bet. So, I can't really remember. You know, I haven't been betting for my whole life. But I'm curious as to the lowest line in the Super Bowl because usually it's a little bit higher.
Chiefs last year was pretty close to a pick'em. I think it was 1.5.
Really? Fuck. Do I know ball? God damn it. I think it might have been.
You do know.
Yeah. So you want to talk some hockey because I don't have a, you know, specific agenda, but as an Islander fan, you know, the Islanders are the only professional sports team I care about. Mm-hmm. You know, other teams like the Giants and, you know, the Bills and the Knicks, it's like, whatever, you know. You know, I don't really care that much. Like, we went to a Yankee game. You know, I don't, you know, care too much about right. the Yankees. But the Islanders, you know, they're Long Island team. I'm a Long Island guy. I really have found a new love for hockey. I love going to games. And in my opinion, it is the best sport to go to live. And I just really just, you know, love the Islanders. And they were having a decent year, you know, kind of an up and down year, but they had a lot of impressive wins. They were getting a lot of points. And then, you know, there were a lot of issues with the coach, and a lot of people were blaming Lane Lambert for these like late collapses. And I think a lot of people have this perception that Lou Lamoriello is old. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he goes out and he gets the greatest goaltender of all time, a super intense guy, a team that a coach that a lot of people wanted in Patrick Waugh. And I could not be more jacked up and excited to be an Islanders fan for the rest of the year. I know your team is going through some coaching issues. What are your overall thoughts on this move for the Isles getting Patrick Waugh?
It's certainly exciting. I mean, I think the Islanders definitely had to make a change at coach. I wish my Maple Leafs would too. I don't know if I'm fully convinced how good of a coach Patrick Waugh is. It's an exciting move. I think it's a high ceiling move. I think this could work out really well for the Islanders, but I mean, Waugh's kind of, he was in the NHL, then he's out. I don't know what he's, who has he been coaching the past few years?
Did he go? He's been coaching like the junior league.
Yeah.
Like the junior Quebec league. I know nothing about that. Is that like below the AHL?
Like, was it the Q, the Quebec Major Junior League that he was coaching in?
I think so. Yeah.
So in Canada, so in the US, if you want to go pro hockey, you go the same thing as other sports where you go high school, college, and then the NHL. In Canada, you go, it's not based on schools. You go up through the leagues. The highest of the high is the major junior league. That's where players get drafted out of. So, and then what happens is if you don't make the NHL, then you go to college, and for every year you play major junior, they pay for a year of your college. So all college hockey players are like mid-20s.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Quebec major junior is the one step before the NHL.
Got it. So it's similar to like the AHL, like the league, like the feeder league for the NHL.
No, because the AHL is like you're on an NHL team, but not on the NHL roster. So you go play AHL. So it'd be equivalent to US college.
Got it. Okay. As for, you know, overall thoughts on the NHL season, any futures, Stanley Cup odds, I have it up. I could share my screen, but you know, Avs 8-1, Panthers 9-1. Oilers 9-1, Stars 10-1. Is there any future you like? I don't. Why are the Canucks 17-1? Like, they're really good, and I know the West is tough, but are they like frauds? Like, I think they're frauds. Really talented. The frauds.
They're frauds. Now they are a good team. They're a playoff team. I think their odds to win the Stanley Cup are set probably about right, 17-1. But they're shooting at a level that's just unbelievable. If you look at their shooting percentage compared to every other team, they're like out there. Their shooting percentage is like almost 2% higher than the next best team. That level of shooting is unsustainable, in my opinion. There's a stat that hockey people like to point out, which is PDO, it's called, and it's a combination of shooting percentage and save percentage. A lot of metrics guys in the NHL think the PDO is a luck stat. I don't know if I'd go that far because there is a skill, obviously, to save percentage and shooting percentage. But the Canucks lead the NHL by a mile in PDO. Last year, there was a team that led by a mile in PDO, and that was the Boston Bruins, and they lost in the first round of the Panthers. So a lot of times, those teams that rank too high in that PDO stat kind of choke it away in the playoffs. So I'm not.
So then what would be overall metrics you like to look at and identify a good hockey team?
I mean, I'm going through an identity crisis when it comes to betting on hockey because I'm in the worst hockey. I just go 0-3 every night. 0-3, 0-3, 0-3. So full disclosure, I've had this hockey season. Usually I'm like solid at betting on the NHL. This hockey season is my worst betting season of any sport of any year. I can't hit a winner. So I don't know. But generally what I look at is I like stats like Corsi percentage, which measures all types of shots for and against, even missed shots, block shots, all types of shots. I like expected goals against, expected goals for. I like high danger scoring chances. Those are kind of the ones that I look at. Generally, I think shooting percentage and save percentage, to a certain extent, there's a lot of variance in those stats. I generally more trust like expected goals and high danger scoring chances and Corsi percentage, a little bit of Fenwick percentage as well, which is the same as Corsi, both have block shots.
So who is your favorite team to win the Stanley Cup this year?
I love the LA Kings.
Okay.
I like the Oilers too, but I don't think there's a ton of, like, I think now we're buying high in the Oilers right now. I think the time to bet on the Oilers like a month and a half ago.
Okay.
I think the Kings are the best spot right now in terms of buy low. They're on a little bit of a losing streak. They have the best penalty kill in the NHL, which is huge. They're great defensively. They're great offensively.
Defense wins championships.
Yep. If you look at all those stats, like expected goals and Corsi percentage, they're top five in the NHL. You're getting a decent price on them right now, 15-1, at least at the sportsbook I'm looking at. So if I were to give it a pick right now, I like the Kings. I will tell you one team to not bet on, and that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don't waste your money. Don't bet a dollar.
It's just because they're the most popular team in the world.
Right.
Like, then they just know everyone will bet on them. But I was actually surprised. Like, they're in a wild card spot. They're 1 point better than the Isles, but they've had a lot of really bad losses this year.
Yeah, they'll get in the playoffs, but I've never seen a team play with less heart than the Maple Leafs.
They need a coaching change. Like,
they need a coaching change.
It's exactly the same as the Islanders.
But I don't even know if a coaching change will do it, because the players on the Leafs, the best way I like to put it is they don't hate losing. Whereas the greatest players of all time in every sport, they stay up late at night. They have nightmares about just losing. Think about Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. These guys despise the idea of losing. The guys on the Maple Leafs are like, oh, we lost. Oh, well, now we get to go in our lake house and chill out for the summer. Like, they actually don't care if they lose. And you can't win in the playoffs if you don't care if you lose. They like winning. They like to win, but they don't really care if they lose.
Yeah. No, they're a very frustrating team. I obviously enjoy when they lose. Like, that makes me...
Were you at that Islanders Leafs game?
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
I was. Yeah,
I mean,
but the Islanders usually have
those. Playing a game of shinny. They were just—they were not skating after the puck. Just like, they looked like it was like the last 15 minutes of a practice, and the coach said, "Go have fun with the puck out there, boys." That's what they look like in an NHL game against the Islanders. It was unbelievable. I've never seen more uninspired hockey in my life.
I enjoyed that, but I will say, the Islanders are going to go on a run. They're going to make the playoffs.
I kind of like the Islanders this year.
They're plus two. They're 2-1 to make the playoffs. They're 1 point out of a wild card spot. The East is stacked right now, but I really think they're going to get a bump from this. They're going to get some injured guys back. They're going to have a big end to the year, and I'm very excited for it. Patrick Waugh's my guy now. Yeah. Like, didn't know he existed a couple months ago, but, like, I'm all in.
The East is good in terms of, like, there's a lot more good teams. The West is more top-heavy. Like, the best teams are kind of in the West, but, like, in the East, like, there's, like, 11, 12 teams that could be playoff teams. But probably none of them will win the Cup. But then
the Leafs are minus 430 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs.
Are they gonna be in on a wild card spot?
Like,
that's a crazy price, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Red Wings are gonna fall off for sure. The Flyers are probably gonna fall off. Yeah, I mean, they might be wild card, but they'll make the playoffs.
That's a crazy line, in my opinion. I don't agree with that. But they're very overvalued for many reasons.
I mean,
but
I wouldn't hate if they finish in the wild card and they can play the Metropolitan Division in the first two rounds instead. I wouldn't hate that. Get me out of these Atlantic Division games.
Yeah.
I hate how the NHL playoffs are set up, by the way.
Are the Rangers good?
Rangers are very good. Rangers are very good. They have the best, like, special teams in the NHL. So they're very good power play and very good penalty kill. But if they don't get those going, then they're in trouble. But yes, they are generally a good team.
Okay, I hope I mean, I know their record. I know they're, like, winning a bunch, but, like, I just was wondering if they were.
I think the best team in the East is the Panthers.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. I mean, they're the second favorite. I think they are definitely. We have them this Saturday. We're going to win. I can't make it. I would have loved to go on. I love a nice weekend hockey game where I could get toasted. I actually got a ticket when we went because I parked. I'm not going to go into it, but whatever. I parked in a railroad lot and I didn't get my car early enough in the morning. So that game cost me $150, dude. So
that's how much the ticket was?
Well, I didn't.
Or are you combining that with like?
No. Like it was $75 and then I didn't pay because I didn't know I had a ticket. And then it was, $150, but I made the money. I don't need it. So it's fine. I really don't even.
Yeah, you're liquid.
Yeah. So it's all good. But I appreciate you coming on. It was a good pod. We covered so many different sports. Like everyone is a way better gambler after listening to it. And we'll have to hit UBS or a Yankee game soon, or maybe the Lynx. We'll have to hit
maybe the
Lynx.
You have been dodging me for a one-on-one match for a while as well. So
yeah,
we'll see if we can get that figured out.
Yeah, no, we'll have to hit Bethpage. You got to come out early, but we'll play some golf at Bethpage. But appreciate everyone tuning in on a Monday night. Everyone go follow Ian. Even though he has, you know, double the followers than me, like, you know, so
I do have one last thing I'd like to say.
Okay. Yeah.
One thing that we did not talk about. I'm a big LPGA golfer. I'm betting on it again this week.
Okay. Yeah. What are the LGPA picks?
I don't have them yet.
What?
I haven't made my picks for LPGA. I was going to say, keep an eye on my Twitter for my article. I'll tweet out.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Didn't you hit a bunch of LPGA?
I crushed LPGA last year. I don't, I think there's an edge to be had in LPGA. I don't think the odds are set right.
Okay.
So right, keep an eye. I do. One of my picks is probably
Minji
Lee
playing.
I think Lydia Ko goes back to back. Minji Lee, I don't think is playing this.
Okay, let me know when you like Minji Lee. She's my favorite women's golfer.
Yeah.
If you ever like her, just let me know. Because I think she's beautiful. Like I think she's very attractive, and she's really, really good at golf. She's
very good
as well.
She can get birdies. She has some issues scrambling sometimes, but she can fire birdies.
We want her on like easy short game track.
Yep.
Okay, well, you know, that's something to factor into the miles, so we will do that. But we'll see you next week, Pebble Week. Everyone go follow
Pebble's
Ian.
Next week, is it? Wow.
Pebble's next week. Pebble, Waste,
right?
Genesis. Good, good stretch. And, yeah, it'll be good. But see everyone next week. Everyone have a good night. And, yeah.